For the final segment of the program, Dr. Shablowski and Valero presented to the group. First, Dr. Shablowski discussed optimal long-term endocrine therapy of premenopausal patients, as well as his WIN study evaluating dietary fat reduction in the adjuvant setting.
Everybody recognized tamoxifen, tremendously effective adjuvant therapy, early trialist, you know, maybe 40 to 50% reduction in risk of recurrence, three life-threatening toxicities, endometrial cancer, pulmonary emboli, and stroke all increased about threefold. So don't come into play or hadn't come into play very much in our adjuvant therapy use, but an issue in terms of primary prevention. If you're familiar with ATTACC, where you end up having 26% reduction in risk of recurrence in the receptor-positive patients. Now at 68 months, a couple points to be made about that. This is mostly European-based trial, so almost all the patients are continuing under their blinded treatment assignment. Almost all the patients have completed their therapy. So as opposed to MA17, where everybody was offered letrozole, there's no unblinding. The toxicity, assuming the toxicity is related to estrogen reduction, the time of estrogen reduction is over. So in that regard, one can view these as estrogen reduction, final toxicity results. And with respect to carryover, the curves are still diverging. After stopping therapy, predefined adverse events, the three life-threatening toxicities all reduce. Joint symptoms, not to minimize those, will make a case for they're going away as a problem, and actually they may go away completely even if you don't do anything in the next few weeks. None of the aromatase inhibitor trials, just to remind you, had pretreatment screening with bone mineral density or ongoing protocol-defined intervention strategies. 8% of patients on ATTACC got bisphosphonates, almost all in the last couple of years, almost all in the U.S. More data on the fractures. Presented by Tony Howell in a letter to The Lancet. This is a pre-planned analysis 6 months after stopping therapy, and the hazard ratio for fractures are the same. Is that biologically plausible? We know one of the problems of estrogen plus progesterone or estrogen use for bone mineral density maintenance is that once you stop, you get accelerated bone loss at 2 to 3 times the age-adjusted rate. Could we be seeing accelerated bone recovery after we release the estrogen suppression? They're going to have some tests in bone mineral density that will help answer that question. Also to point out now that the hip fractures, even without any therapy, after the 68 months are the same, 1% and 1%, even without intervention on these two therapies. The big 198 data, which you've seen before, updated a couple times, published most recently in the New England Journal of Medicine December 27th with about 3.5%, 3.5% difference in recurrence at about 30 months follow-up. The original report got people's attention. Cardiac deaths were 26 and 13. Now they're 13 and 6. CVA 7 versus 1. Is this a signal for this large population? So 8,000 times 2.5 years, so maybe 25,000 patient years, 7 difference. Part of the issue had been the question about 40% increase in cholesterol on letrozole and 20% on tamoxifen. That didn't seem right, and it wasn't. The Austrian Breast Cancer Study Group 8 trial, which was reported last year starting in the middle together with the Arnold trial, was felt to be a switching trial, but actually it's a sequencing trial where the randomization was at the start. These two arms are the same as the two arms we're supposed to be waiting 2 to 3 years for from Big 198. That is tamoxifen first followed by aromatase inhibitor. That's already present in the ABCSG report. Randomized at the start, tamoxifen for 2 years, and then continued tamoxifen for anastrozole. So 5 years of tamoxifen, 2 years of tamoxifen versus anastrozole starting at the middle. At the beginning, why is that important? You start with 2,900 patients, and then what happens? To get to the middle, 397 patients didn't make it. They had some kind of breast cancer event, dropped out, had another life event, so you're left with 2,529 patients. So this would be true even more so for the rest of the switching trials, where they go from an unknown number of universe down to their study population. And this is they're looking at the outcome when they start at the two-year period. So you're looking at the 2,500 patients that got to the 2 years, and you get this nice 38% reduction in recurrences. And just to remind you, when you're given tamoxifen for the first 2 years, you got the same results in the first 2 years, so not too surprising. But then when they continue it for the overall study results, actually what happens is they get a 24% overall. So the true effect of aromatase inhibitors for that last few years is a 24% in line with the first-line therapies, borderline statistically significant, so really no evidence for a priming effect. So really, if you're waiting for a priming effect from Big 198, you already have it. Here's the toxicities. Myocardial infarction, 2 versus 3. Embolism, 9 versus 2. Thrombosis, 12 versus 1. Endometrial cancer, 7 versus 1. So you're really buying that toxicity for no increased benefit, starting with tamoxifen first, waiting for a priming effect, which we're not seeing. And then what they did secondarily is they took this study and started the analysis in the middle again, so it would be similar to IES, and added it with ARNO and ITA in a meta-analysis. And what do they get with that? They get a 41% reduction in improvement in disease-free survival. And interestingly, in a meta-analysis, show an overall survival benefit. A number of people have said you will never get a survival benefit out of aromatase inhibitor trials because the impact on breast cancer recurrence is small compared to tamoxifen, and we don't know about the toxicity. Well, here you end up having, within this time frame, a survival benefit with an aromatase inhibitor use. We had a couple things at San Antonio about extended adjuvant therapy, and to remind you, this is tamoxifen first, followed by letrozole versus placebo, reported after about 2.5 years of follow-up. And again, to reinforce the point, in this, letrozole versus placebo, no change in cholesterol, no change in cardiovascular events. Interestingly, Jim Engel looked at all the patients who were still on study up until they became unblinded. And this is very interesting. This is an annual hazard ratio for recurrence. It's about half as much in the first year. And in the fourth year, it was actually about 1/5 of the recurrences were seen on letrozole versus placebo. This is all while people are continuing under their blinded treatment assignment, suggesting increasing benefit with longer duration of aromatase inhibitor therapy. We're not used to looking at the analyses that way. A kind of a controversial analysis presented by Paul Goss, again, looking at the patients after the randomization was done, and they're looking at all the placebo patients after they were told, after this 2.5 years, about the results. They were all offered letrozole. 2/3 took letrozole, a lot of selection. Paul Goss showed that it looked like these patients who didn't take it were at lower risk and were older, maybe had more comorbidity, but as was pointed out in an earlier discussion, we really can't say about that, but a spectacular result, 70% fewer recurrences in the people who took letrozole versus those who didn't, and actually an overall survival benefit in the patients who decided to take it versus not. And so the start of the letrozole, an average of 3 years up to 5 years after therapy. And then a similar design is ABCSG has an extended adjuvant tamoxifen or tamoxifen plus aminoglutethamide. Interestingly, so half the patients had prior aromatase inhibitors, and then the same kind of design with the 36% reduction in risk recurrence for those continuing on aromatase inhibitors. Looking at the cardiac events, you can spend an entire seminar, which we have already on several times, I'm looking at cardiac events, but cardiac deaths on ATTACC, BIG-1A8, IES, 80,000 patient years, 9 out of 80,000, I mean, so that really is close to nothing in the pre-Vioxx area. It would be nothing. And so it really shouldn't enter our clinical decision-making because when we're talking about the risk, we're talking about 2% target, 4% target. This is like potentially nothing or 1 out of 1,000. To look quickly at the WINS result, which I showed at ASCO plenary session last year, for mostly postmenopausal women, all getting standard therapy, chemo, tamoxifen for 5 years, 1 of 4 defined chemotherapies, dietary intervention or not, and with self-report, the woman decreased their fat gram intake by close to 50%, down to 33 fat grams per day. The intervention wasn't targeting weight loss, but because when you get the fat out of your diet, the women did have a 6-pound difference, which was 3 standard deviations, suggesting something did occur in the group. Primary study endpoint, relapse-free survival, 2,437 women randomized at 39 U.S. sites. As a large R01, 24% reduction in risk. It was interesting. Recurrence, we thought estrogen was going to be the mediator, but we saw a hazard ratio of 0.85 in receptor-positive patients. And in receptor-negative patients, 478 patients, 42% reduction in risk of recurrence, 8% absolute difference at 5 years, and you get a p-value out of 478 patients. So more follow-up needed. We need peer-reviewed publication, confirmatory trials, but that's an interesting outcome.